Good morning, everybody. It is really good to be back in Hamilton, to see all of your faces and to reconnect. We feel your support and all of your love to us in Cleveland. Can you believe I've been there now for 25 years? Christine and I are 22 years married. I don't know if I can say this in church, but I think it's a minor miracle that she's put up with me this long. So just very, very blessed. Our three kids are here today as well. So I want to just give a quick family update before we jump into the Word together. All three of our kids are in college now. Zach and Elijah are seniors at colleges in the state of Ohio. And Elijah's working on public policy as his major, and Zach on theology. And both of them are, hard to believe, finishing up their college times here, Lord willing. And our daughter just started at Capital University in Ohio. She wants to be a music teacher for K through 8. So our little girl is off to college, and we are so very proud of all of them. So that's a quick update on our family. And I'd like to now give you an update on Calvary, if you guys wouldn't mind jumping to the next slide. So for those of you who don't know, it was 17 years ago when the Hamilton folks came to Cleveland for an entire summer and helped to renovate our church building. Larger sanctuary, more classroom space, lift elevator as well, and the building is just holding up so very well. And I don't know, can we advance two slides? Possibly. It will come back to the scripture. No? Okay. All right, no problem. So the building is holding up well. And a couple things that you guys envisioned with us back in the day was to have our sanctuary be something that the community could use as well. So for example, a developer came in about 6 months ago and led a community meeting because they're building a new apartment building in our neighborhood on an old school property. And so neighbors wanted to know, you know, traffic flow, a huge apartment building coming in, all the issues around it. So they came to us and said, you've got the perfect place for us to have this meeting. And so we were there for that. Two meetings happened after a shooting happened about a quarter mile from our house, and we had a safety meeting at our church. The police came to talk about their way of handling the situation, and social service folks came in and said, how can we work with the youth who are falling into some rough things? And so our place, again, was a perfect spot for those two meetings, every seat filled in the sanctuary, our church, a way of supporting the community that way. But of course, our primary purpose in that is to build relationships and to love on the neighborhood and to share Jesus with them. So we're going to go now to the scripture. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, and I want to talk about sowing seeds in the city. I'm going to talk about that in two ways, sowing seeds of the gospel, the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, of the good news of Jesus Christ. And then also sowing physical seeds, creation care. It was great to see that the VBS taught the kids God's glory through science. In the same way, we can teach God's glory through caring for His creation. And I'll talk about our ministry in that way as well. So Matthew chapter 13 is one of the places where the parable of the sower is. And we'll pick it up there in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This is the word of the Lord. that thanks be to God. O Lord, may your word be our rule. May your spirit be our teacher. And may the glory of Jesus Christ be our single concern, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, 1 month ago, we had a worship service at Edgewater Park, which is the largest Cleveland city park, right on Lake Erie. And we have a worship service there once a summer, and we have baptisms as part of that, if there are any baptisms. And one of the persons who came forward for baptism, having been discipled for a year, was Phil. Phil, if you go back in time to the year 2000, when I still had hair and began as the pastor at Calvary, Phil came to our outreach teen youth group. And we have a basketball hoop behind the church, and he and his friends would come 3, 4, 5 times a week to shoot hoops. And we became close, and once a week he would come in for the worship services for the teens in our church. So after he graduated from high school, he moved to another neighborhood in the city, and we lost track of Phil. And if you had said to me, say in 2005, what kind of soil is Phil? And again in 2010. And again in 2015, and again in 2020, I probably would have chosen the first soil in the list that Jesus gave, and that is the soil where the seed fell, but it didn't have root. And later, when Jesus is talking about the parables, he said, this is like when Satan comes and takes that seed out before it has the chance to grow. And that's how I felt about Phil, that this wonderful young man, this group of teenagers, they just didn't have that chance to really grow deep because of all the challenges happening in their lives. So 2 years ago, Phil gives me a call. And he says, I want to get serious about being a Christian. I want to be discipled. I want to learn about what baptism is and see if I should be baptized or not. Of course, I said, yes, let's make this happen. A little bit later, he called me and said, would you officiate the marriage of me and my wife? That was such a wonderful day. So we began to disciple Phil. He began to open the Bible at home and teach his kids. He's a wonderful young man. He's in social services. He is a caseworker in our city, helping people through some of the lowest of times. And last month, he stood on the shores of Lake Erie and he committed himself to Christ. Right after he was done, it was his mother's turn. Because a year ago, watching Phil grow, she decided to recommit her life to Christ. And she was baptized that day. And right after her was his younger sister, who also came hearing about Calvary, hearing about Jesus in fresh ways, and she also was baptized, along with one other adult. So what I want to say to you first today is, you have sown seeds in your life. And I think sometimes people are in various places in the four. You might think that you're caring for your child who hasn't decided to follow Jesus, that your seeds have fallen on deaf ears, and that Satan has taken that seed away. But don't give up, because not everybody is done at that stage. Maybe God is going to work in their lives and make them good soil later on. There were two other people in the water that day. Two twin girls. What are they, 9 years old? 8, 9 years old. Their great-grandparents came to me last year and said, we'd like the girls to be baptized. Their daughter left the church. Her daughter never committed herself to Christ, but they wanted to make sure that their great-granddaughters, despite what was happening with their parents and grandparents, would have the chance to follow Jesus. And so they've been bringing them to church faithfully. The girls are often in the front row, dancing during the music. The kids' sermon gets started, and who raises their hand the most? But it's the girls, and constantly talking to the person giving the message to them, engaging in dialogue. They're full of life and energy. And they stood for child baptism that day, and their great-grandparents stood, as we do in the Reformed tradition, to promise to help raise these children in the Lord, and their great-grandparents from the other side, who traveled in from Pennsylvania to be there, and also strong Christians, and also pledged to raise their children, help raise their great-grandchildren to follow Jesus. For some of us, the people that are closest to us are the ones that are hard soil. And that's especially hard, isn't it? When you have someone that you really love and care about, and they're just not interested. And again, like I said about Phil, don't give up. Keep loving, keep praying, keep sowing seeds in them. And particularly when you think about your children and your grandchildren, what is your role to continue to help them grow? Don't stop once your kids, you know, start their own lives, but continue to feed into them the good news of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. This becomes so very clear here in Matthew 13. In other words, we don't know what the soil is. We might think that it's rocky soil, but God knows, and He's the one that brings the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 says that one person waters and another person plants, but it is God who brings the increase. So don't worry about that part. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the message of the kingdom. Focus, like Cal said, on loving your neighbor, loving them well, and let God do the part of bringing them into His fold. And that's so freeing for me as a pastor, again, to wait 22 years to see Phil become a Christian. A lot of times when I wasn't patient, and I would have said, it's hopeless. But we must never give up. Amen? We must never give up. So that is one kind of sowing seeds that we are doing in the city of Cleveland. But there is another kind, and that's where I want to go now, and that is physical seeds. Physical seeds. Again, I was so happy to hear about the VBS using science, because sometimes we can over-spiritualize the faith. There's the old saying that sometimes Christians are so heavenly-minded that they're no earthly good. That one kind of sticks in the brain. So heavenly-minded that they're no earthly good. And I think I've certainly been there at various times in my life. But I love how they use science to show the glory of God. In the same kind of way, we use caring for God's creation to show the glory of God. When I was growing up in North Dakota, life was aligned with the land. Life was aligned with the land. My mom, with her huge organic garden, we were out there hands and knees, you know, planting our own rows of carrots and beets and watching them grow. I was a 4-H kid and raised rabbits, and I raised a market hog. And there was a ribbon given to me for grand champion, but there were only four other pigs. So I don't know that I really did such a great job. But again, life was aligned with the land, rabbits, pigs. As part of that experience, we learned about water erosion and how it can be dangerous for the soil and what farmers can do to protect their land. And so then came to Hamilton for high school, and my first jobs were with Uncle Nate here in the room and my other uncles, weeding the soybeans, working, catching chickens for local poultry farmers, working for Harvey Coop on his Christmas tree farm. And Harv was so great at teaching us how to prune that tree correctly. And he really, truly cared about his trees. And one thing I remember about Harv was he was very proud to say, "We don't paint our trees." Some folks would paint their trees before they sold them at Christmas. But Harv had this sense that a tree was not meant to be painted. It's beautiful as it is. So our second scripture today is from Genesis chapter 1. Can we go back to one slide prior to this, if you have it? If not, I'll grab a Bible. Sorry, I was relying on the screen for it. So go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read about the creation of trees. Verse 11. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And then if we go over to chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Two verbs there, sometimes translated serve and protect, much like you might see on the side of a police car. We are called to work the land and to take care of it, to serve and protect it. And so, how do we do that in Cleveland? How do we do that in urban Cleveland? How do we help folks who maybe don't have a connection to the land anymore to get reconnected to it? So much like the kids in your VBS with science, we start off with the children. It's a program called Creation Care Kids. And we teach kids basic skills of how to care for God's creation. So this past Wednesday, Matt Jackson from our church was the one who led that. And what he did was we went to that same park that we had for the baptism on the shores of Lake Erie, and we listened for birds, and we did bird identification. And we talked about how the Creator has made all these amazing birds, shorebirds there in Lake Erie, as well as songbirds, smaller birds as well. And so we listened for bird calls, and Matt taught them that. Then we walked through the forest or the trees along the side of the lake, and he showed them nightshades. I didn't know about nightshades. I'm learning a ton from Matt. Nightshades have a berry that if humans eat it, they get sick, but birds love the berries on a nightshade, and it's a blessing for them, and they eat and they enjoy. And so we teach the kids the value of habitat. The USDA says that 47 out of 50 states last year lost trees. We're slowly but surely losing trees across the landscape, and certainly the wildfires are part of that. And so we teach the kids the value of the trees that God made and our calling to care for those trees for the sake of the birds, but for the sake of humans, because that's how we breathe. And that's how we get shade in this increasing heat that we're experiencing. Shade is so critical, and especially in the city. It's something called the heat island effect. So yesterday we were in Holland visiting my brother, and came back home along Waverly Avenue there, and came home. And being in the city, on the asphalt, on the road, you could feel the heat in a different way than you could in Mom's backyard here in Hamilton with the leafy shade trees. So when you're in the city, the temperature can be 6 to 8 degrees hotter than it is in the country. And that's because of all the vegetation that would be absorbing the heat has been cut down. That's because of the asphalt, grabbing that heat and holding it, other, factors as well. So to plant a tree in Cleveland matters. It matters for folks for that shade, for that sense of protection. So this past year, we helped plant 25 trees on a street that hadn't had a new tree planted in several decades. And then we taught folks, how do you care for those trees? So starting off at the base, right, making sure that the soil isn't compacted so those seeds can really take root. Showing them how to expose the root flare, because that's important. Showing them how to mulch. The importance of watering in the first 18 months, the importance of staking those trees carefully so that when the winds blow, they will not topple. Deer guards. Yes, we have deer in the city. I saw two little fawns walking through our neighborhood a couple of weeks ago. So cute. Deer coming into the city and so eating the small trees, the leaves, and so protecting those young trees from deer using deer guards. All these kind of skills helping us reconnect and align our lives with the land, serving creation, protecting it for the glory of God and for the good of God's people. It's a real joy. And two of the people who came to our tree care sessions that we had three of them, teaching folks how to care for trees and the biblical basis behind why we do, leading them right into Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, was a mom and a daughter who have four trees on their property. And they have no idea how to care for those trees. And one of them had vines wrapping itself around. And they showed the arborist who was there teaching us that tree. And the arborist said that those vines could very well choke that tree. You need to cut them down. So then, a week later, they cut down those vines from the tree, and they sent a before and an after picture. And that, for me, was a very important moment, because here's two folks who had no idea how to care for God's creation in this way, now saving a shade tree in their neighborhood in the city. That's a Christian act. It's a Christian act to care for God's creation. And of course, it brings us joy and it brings us peace to watch the birds come to those trees, to hear the birds, to feel the shade. And so, sowing seeds in the city, let's stay connected to the land, right? The world is changing. There's fewer farmers in this day and age. I think I've heard this stat, maybe 1% now of Americans. You guys know this much, much better than I do. And in that disconnection that's happening from the land, we need to stay connected to it as a Christian act to help protect God's creation for the next generation, for clean water, clean air, trees, and all the benefits that God's creation gives us. Again, Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it, to serve and to protect it. And so, for us right now, this is what's happening in Cleveland. We are sharing the good news of the kingdom of God with people. Sometimes it takes a long time, sometimes it happens quickly. And we are doing creation care ministry to help reconnect people to the Creator and to help them care for God's beautiful world. We continue to do food ministry. Last year, we served over 5,000 meals, and it looks like this year there's going to be even more than that. There's been a little bit of an uptick in the need of folks. We have in-person meals as well as carry-out meals as well. But again, as I said earlier, part of that is to develop relationships. So one of the men that we've been loving on over the last 6 months or so is a homeless man named Doug. And Doug now is constantly at the church helping to serve. At the same time, we know he has physical needs, and so we're working with a local organization to get him into housing to be able to have shelter by the fall and heading into the winter. But he's hearing the gospel. He's coming up for church. He plays guitar, so once in a while he gets up there and he plays the guitar. Hasn't played in worship yet, but we're looking forward to that day. But again, feeding both the body and the soul is something that God has called us to do in our work in Cleveland. So, in closing, what is one thing that you can take away from this message today? Maybe it is not giving up on that family member, that friend, that neighbor who has turned away from God. Maybe it's not to give up. Maybe it's to let God take care of that and you be faithful in prayer and in witness and in love. Maybe it's creation care. Maybe something that I said will draw your attention. This week with the kids, what we're doing is we're helping them plant native flowers at our church for the bees and the butterflies. You've heard about the crisis that's happening in bee colonies. Many bees are dying, and part of that is, you know, habitat loss. And so even in the city, planting gardens, planting flowers that are native that will help the pollinators. Last week, I saw 3 monarch butterflies on the milkweed that we had planted last year. And that was a victory because, again, the monarchs are also becoming endangered. So maybe it's something along those lines, creation care that sparked in you a thought or something today along those lines. I do want to make sure that we pray for our farmers. We know that the water has been scarce this year, and we really need to lift up our farms as we close this service. Take that one thing that you're going to walk away with, and let's come to God in prayer. Lord, maybe folks here are thinking of a dear loved one, a child, a grandchild, a sibling, a neighbor, a friend, a dear friend who has left you. Lord, I pray that they would not give up hope. We pray even now for that person, that individual whom they are praying for. We pray that the day would come soon when they would see the glory of Jesus Christ and desire to follow him. Maybe somebody here is thinking about their witness and wanting to share Jesus more through conversation, to listen well and to share in conversation with others. Give them strength, give them courage to have those conversations and great peace and joy in being able to share Christ. Take away any pressure from them, Lord, and just allow it to be some good conversations that would develop. We also want to pray for fruit, all the seeds that have been planted by this congregation, Lord. Whether it be Bible school, whether it be Sunday school, whether it be worship services, we pray that you would continue to bring fruit through Hamilton Reformed Church. I am one of those seeds that was planted here, and you helped me grow, and I pray the same thing for all the seed planting that they are doing. We also want to lift up the care of your creation. We pray for our farmers. It's been a difficult summer, Lord. We need rain. We ask that you would send the rains to the farms in this area and around the country. Lord, the changing climate, it's causing many, many problems, many stressors on our farmers. We pray that you give them wisdom and understanding of how best to continue to steward that land well. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the food that they provide us. Thank you for the gift of that hard work that they do. Lord, if someone here has been sparked by an idea about creation care, we pray that you give them lots of joy in putting that into practice, whatever that might be. So, Lord, let us continue to sow seeds, kingdom and physical seeds. May you allow them to bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.